Okay, guys, welcome back to your Friday edition of the A-List Lowdown. Coming at you June 6, 2025 with Barry Ban and Free Money. Which I don't know what yours is. Do you have any idea what mine is?
No, I don't know what yours is. I don't think. I mean, I might have a little bit of an idea about temporary workers picking berries maybe or something like that. No?
No, it's better than that.
Okay.
So, of course, if you're watching on YouTube, you can super chat, like, subscribe, comment, share, all that YouTube stuff to help out our fledgling channel. I mean, we're like the only channel that says like fentanyl and stuff like that. Yeah, there's all these words that I listen to and people won't say them. I'm like, well, you can't.
They've got all these code words. I even heard DR Uggs today.
DR Uggs?
Yeah.
What do you think those are?
Yeah, well.
Do you want to start with Barry Ban?
Sure, let's start with Barry Ban. Yeah, I can't wait for this one because I know you've got another segment that we sort of did a little bit of an experiment with the other day, and it was so funny.
Yeah, I've got that all queued up on my GPT, ready to go.
Oh, good.
So let's jump into this one, and let's see what you think. I'm eager to get your real-time opinion on this. It's good when you haven't seen them.
Yeah.
I appreciate that better.
It's tedious work, but those who commissioned this plan are convinced it will help keep G7 delegates from around the world from having any interaction with certain wildlife.
Shepherdia is a bear attractant, and what we're trying to do is reduce human and bear conflict.
Volunteers are removing a plant in the area commonly called Buffalo Berry. It's one of a handful of strict protocols put in place in hopes of managing food attractants to prevent any encounters.
The challenge if bears come in and eat berries in this area is they become conditioned to the food, to those berries, and then they can get into other food and have conflict with people, and that often ends badly for the bear. So we're really trying to save bears here.
Scouting groups from the area have been helping with the plucking as well as
It either ends real bad for the people or it ends bad for the bear, one of the two, I guess.
Students from local schools as part of their curriculum.
We're tying it today to the Living Systems unit in grade 6 science. Understanding more about ecosystems and the complexities of our local ecosystems. And what are some of the challenges within these ecosystems and how we as humans are maybe part of those challenges or part of helping to mitigate those.
As you can see from this branch, the buffalo berry plants have begun to flower, but what you don't see are any berries. Many worry these actions are taking away the available food the bears rely on in the summer.
I would say they should leave the berries alone.
Bear expert and author Kevin Van Tegum says the buffalo berry won't ripen until around mid-July, so bears won't be in the area eating it until then. While he believes it's a good idea to clear plants around campgrounds and high-use areas, it won't deter them during the summit.
By the time there's actually any concern about people blundering into a bear in a berry patch, the G7 will have been long over. So if they think they're doing something to improve security for the G7, they're deluding themselves. It'll make no difference whatsoever.
Most of the 60-hectare removal project is expected to be completed by next week. The province says they will also be putting up fence barriers and an electric bear fence for added safety during the G7. Craig Momney, Global News.
Did you see that guy's book title?
No, I didn't.
Go back to that guy.
So, I mean, what do you think?
Bears, don't be afraid of bears. I think bears' lives matter. I mean, that should have been the title right there.
Someone in the chat might have caught it. Where does he keep the title of the book?
Abbott, further ahead. Yeah. Further ahead. Keep going. There. Bears without fear.
Bears without fear.
Sounds like a Peter Gabriel song or something.
Bear Life Matters is just, I think that might be Garth, actually. So anyway, what do you think? Doesn't that seem crazy that they're having the environmental summit and they're cutting all this bear food to keep the bears away? I mean, can't you just do it at like the airport hotel then? You have to go out to this place.
They should want the people to see bears. I mean, this is an attraction, right? I mean, people want to see. Thanks in the chats there, Thabit.
I told you it's Garth.
Berry lives matter. Garth. Hey, Garth. What do you mean? This should be people want to see that. It's a tourist thing. So let the G7 see some wildlife, some bears.
You're putting up electric.
It's going to get dangerous. I mean, come on.
And cutting down 200 berry plants. I mean, can you imagine if you and I were out there cutting down berry plants when it's not the G7? They would fucking go ballistic.
But what do you mean about the G7? Is the G7 an environmental thing?
I think it is, isn't it?
I don't know. I get mixed up on the G8, the G7, the G7.
Should look up, see what it is.
Okay, let me check with your assistant. I have access to your assistant now.
It's nuts. It's nuts. Here's a little interlude of entertainment. In the meantime, this is the Toronto police getting down to business. Your tax dollars at work.
Yes.
Oh, it's too loud. It's too loud.
Is this for the cops announcing?
So for the people that are only listening, it is a drag queen dancing on the stage with a bunch of police officers at a police convention.
Well, you should show the cringe video of the cops dancing that Bollywood dance.
I put the thing in the wrong chat. God damn it.
Did you see the cops doing the Bollywood dance? I mean, that's more cringe than that.
I didn't see that, but that does sound.
In the same event?
That does sound fairly cringe. Can I see, what'd you come up with?
Well, the G7 is a intergovernmental forum that brings together seven of the world's most advanced and industrialized economies. Well, we shouldn't even belong to this anymore. I mean, to coordinate policies and discuss major global issues, it plays a strategic and symbolic role in shaping global economic governance, political cooperation, and multilateral action. So it's not... The EU is also participates in that, but is not counted as one of the seven member states. So it's basically like the EU and Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, US, and
Ukraine's
UK.
There too.
And this who?
Year. Ukraine, Zelensky's coming.
Well, I mean, they're not listed from your. Anyways, it's not an environmental thing. Oh, I guess climate and environment is one of the things, maybe. This includes targets for net zeros and.
If you have to do that,
decarbonized barrels of oil. What?
Atlas shrugs. You'd think you'd just do it someplace else. I mean, there's so many fancy joints and around, you know, you'd think you'd just find someplace else to do it, some golf resort. You just go to the national park. Actually, I think it's a provincial park, maybe, and start cutting down shit to deter bears. And if you're going to do it for the plebs, why not be doing it for years? You know, but I mean, are they scared that the bears are going to just storm the hotel and bust the door down? I mean, there's got to be so many armed people out there. It's crazy.
You mean the elites? You mean if you're going to do it for the elites, you mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You should do it. I know. It's just typical bullcrap. Well, that was good.
Speaking of the elites, did you catch this one?
It's very obvious at this point, I think, that Trump is, that Trump, Putin, and to a lesser extent, I even believe Xi, but I'm not quite on the, I'm still a little on the fence about this. They understand who the real enemy is, and the real enemy is continental Europe. And it's the old banking interests of colonial Europe that need to be destroyed. And that includes City of London, not Britain, City of London. The square mile.
The Vatican.
Very important. That includes the Vatican. I hate to say it.
And Frankfurt.
The goal is, if you look at everything that's happening, if you just look at all the little hotspots around the world and the way that things are shaping up, they are trying to bottle up the old pirates of colonial Europe so that they have no places to plunder. So they've lost Russia. They're losing the Middle East. Trump said very nice things about Erdogan, Turkey taking Syria, which blocks Israel from going to war with Iran. The French have lost the Sahel region of Africa. That's all gone. The United States, nope, we're changing the way we do business. We're not going to allow Janet Yellen to spend us in the debtor's prison and everything else. The United States is secured. What do all these regions have in common? Unbelievable natural resource wealth. Europe has no collateral. I learned that from Alex Craner. And since then, that model has made perfect sense to explaining how everybody is acting. Europe's only path forward is to plunder Canada. That's why they hate Alberta. That's why Ottawa hates Alberta. That's why Mark Carney is prime minister. And that's what has to end.
Okay, wow, that's a great clip. That's a fantastic clip. So then what does that mean for Carney in the UK and Trump in the UK then? What is that?
I don't know. That's Tom Luongo, though, whoever that is. I also thought that was a great clip, though.
But what does that mean for, like, does he say that Carney is saving Canada or taking us in based on?
It doesn't sound like he is saying that Carney is saving Canada.
That he's part of the dismantling or the, because the what did he call it?
Demolition.
You know what's missing out of that clip is that it was the, I would say that the other way to word that European banking colonial system is the rules-based order, right? The so-called rules-based order that Soros and everyone else has been pushing on us, right? That's failed. That's completely failed. I mean, they've destroyed the West pretty much. So is that the same thing? I wonder if that's the same thing he's talking about.
I don't know. I'm going to do one more clip here, and then I'm going to hand it over to you for a bit, give you some time to get ready. And then I'll do the, after you do a few, I'll do the consultant breakdown. But this is the one I think you were talking about with the ARPAL. This is the new guy who wants to take my guns. Well, if I had any. I don't, though. Oops.
Does the minister know what an ARPAL is?
No, minister.
I do not.
Remember.
An ARPAL is a restricted possession and acquisition license for owning handguns and different guns.
And restricted guns, right? Restricted
guns, yeah.
But I mean, at least he's honest, right? Give him props for just coming in there and saying, like, I haven't learned a thing about the gun, the gun stuff.
Yeah.
Vice Chair, does the minister know what an ARPAL is?
No, minister.
I do not.
Remember.
Does the minister know what the CFSC is?
I'm a minister.
I do not, no.
Member.
I'll stipulate, Chair, that is the Canadian's firearm safety course that all gun owners in Canada have to do to get their firearms license. Has the minister ever done the Canadian firearm safety course?
Yeah, I'm a minister.
Speaker, it's my third week on the job. No, I have not.
Yeah, I'm a member.
Does the minister know what safety classes and safety demands are expected of law-abiding Canadian gun owners?
The Honourable Minister.
This is not about law-abiding gun owners, Mr. Speaker.
Honourable Member.
How can the minister make that claim when he doesn't know the basic fundamentals of law-abiding gun ownership in this country, Chair? Vice Chair.
I would like to put myself in the law-abiding gun owner category.
I don't really like how he was kind of picked on there, to be honest with you. I don't know. I just feel like it's not really
his. I would agree with you, but he's the dude who's right now talking about taking guns away.
Is he talking about that? Or what is he saying?
Yeah, he's the dude. He's the guy in charge of that department.
Well, that department. But I mean, who has he been talking about? He hasn't come out and said, we're going to do that, has he? Or?
Well, I think they found like $370 million for gun buyback.
To be spent on the gun buyback? Or?
Yes. Yeah. And actually, I think they actually called it the gun confiscation.
They're not even messing around with the language anymore. They're
not even hiding it anymore.
So, but you know what I mean? He was promoted there by who? Carney? I guess Carney just get to pick these people in those spots.
Yeah. But shouldn't the person in that job know what the fuck they're
doing? Yeah, totally. But I mean, just, I don't know, just picking on him at that moment.
Because, like, even if you don't know, even if you're 3 weeks on the job, you shouldn't be on the job unless you have experience in all of these just different avenues that you're about to be in charge of. You should be
experienced. Yeah, no, I know, but that goes for all those guys. All of them are in the wrong positions. Not all.
This is why we need to spend $26 billion on consultants.
What are they getting? What are we getting for that?
I don't know. They ain't getting my gun.
We're getting people that don't know what the ARPAL is to come and take your gun away.
He doesn't know what he's looking at when he comes to take the gun. I mean, he'll need to have someone there. You'll be like honor system.
Well, I mean, he's not going to be the one coming.
No, I know. Well, where I am, it's not going to be anybody by the sounds of it. Unless we get a different government. But I mean, they were doing polling recently, and it looks like the UCP is polling higher than ever in Alberta.
Yeah, I saw that.
If they held an election right now, the NDP would lose 70% of their seats.
When I saw Nenshi with a clip, and he was just saying that the UCP is far right, far right. They're just far right like Trump. That's it. That's all he can say, right? It's just gross.
All right, you can
as if any political party in Canada besides the PPC is even, you know, that far right at all. Okay, so here's a guy that explains how to get some free money. Did you know money is free in Canada?
And the PPC isn't even that far right. I seen this. I was going to write down some tips.
Yeah. So Indian guy explains how to get free money in Canada. Money is free in Canada. There are currently 192 programs in a single category. What do you think about that, Canada? So here, this guy's going to go through how to get Business Benefits Finder.
This is how you can access hundreds of government grants in Canada. If you are a business owner or looking to buy a business, let me show you how this works. So once you're on this Business Benefits Finder, you click on these filters. You can select grants and funding for amounts. Of course, click all amounts. You scroll down, go over these filters, and then you select your industry. In my case, I will be selecting finance. But one thing to keep in mind is select only programs accepted.
I'm just going to pause it here. Yeah.
I'm going to go there and click the Indigenous Peoples one.
Owned by Canadians. This is a checkbox thing for all the audio listeners. Indigenous people, Black Canadians, other racialized persons. Is that you? Oh, no, you're Indigenous.
I'm Indigenous. Women,
language minorities. And where's short people in there?
Oh, come off it. With your short.
We have a total disadvantage to the tall dudes, man. Are you kidding me?
No, not all the time. Not if you're trying to get knocked over, if you're getting shot at. There's nothing wrong with that.
Dodging bullets. 2S LGBTQI plus status only programs accepting clients is the one that he.
I like how one is just Black Canadians.
But what is another? That's a whole category in itself. What is the other racialized persons then?
Brown people,
Indians, I guess. Then, so this guy would click off Indians.
Brown people. They got all the Arabs too.
Owned by? What is owned by? Okay, that's the program is owned by them.
Company, yeah.
No, okay. Here we go.
Accepting clients, and you will see 192 results.
Okay, I'm gonna just go back to that other screen there because it showed. So newcomers to Canada, persons with disabilities, youth under 40. Rural or northern, right? There you go. Rural, you could be rural.
Oh, and rural Indian, a rural gay Indian.
None of these, I'm not sure, prefer not to say.
You will see 192 results. Let it load up and you can go over all of these grants and funding that has opened up. You click on more, let's say, for example, this one. It will also tell you what you are eligible for and how you can apply for this grant as well. This is how you can...
I mean, we should probably go through that one day. We could do a whole segment on that, just playing around the government website.
Yeah, it would get pretty stale, I think.
$1,000 for only 2 weeks left to get this $50,000 grant for your business. This program is called Can Export, and it provides up to $50,000 for Canadian small medium businesses to expand internationally. This funding applies to trade shows, conferences, and travel for up to two people. You can also get funding for market research, legal advice, and video creation. Hi, I'm Peter. I'm a CFO. I've helped many companies get this grant in the past, so I made a free 5-page guide to walk.
What?
Did you message him? I mean, this is perfect for us.
Through the application step.
He's got a 5-page guide, dude. But Peter Zia, like, message. Go ahead. Message him.
They're always selling something.
Free money. I got free money, baby. There's that famous graph.
It's making the rounds.
Cut all the social programs and privatize everything. Schools, hospitals, everything. Here's the new slogan for Canada. Canada, work or starve capitalism. Not work and starve socialism. People need to get it through their heads. Elbows down, everyone. Wake up. Destruction from within. I mean, it's really hard to, once we hear from Darren's clip there, it's going to be pretty obvious that it feels like it's destruction from within. That's for sure. I'm going to just play one that leads leads into yours. Actually, no, let me do this first. I'm going to do a couple of quick ones first here. Have you heard that the 21st century fires are a different breed? Like, they're really quite different because of climate change. Have you heard that?
I've seen the clip, yeah.
Have you seen the clip? Damn, I wish. We got to try and not see each other's clips. Elizabeth May. Bring back the days when two white men in white coats or two men in white coats would enter this scene and take this person directly to the loony bin.
Water bombers won't put out most of the, once a fire's out of control, but you could stop it early if you could, because the nature of 21st century fire is very different from 20th century fire because of the climate crisis. It's changed fire behavior. It's made fires much harder to put out and much more dangerous for communities.
So you think that, Darren? Weren't you a firefighter way back in the day?
Well, yeah, but I don't think it's
climate change hasn't made them.
No, worse. I mean they're just bad where I'm from. All the time, for as long as I've been alive, it's been a thing where we were a base for firefighters. A bunch of firefighters in a base for going out and fighting forest fires started by lightning. But I did notice that a bunch of the Indian pages I follow on Facebook are starting I don't know if it's a conspiracy or not, but they're starting a claim that the fires are all along the path of some infrastructure plan.
Really? That's interesting. Maple Truth, at least put her in rehab. It's truly a gross thing that Parliament enables alcoholism and drug addiction. So, and then here's what I was going to play based on that. So this is 100 of 111 fires in Manitoba right now are confirmed human caused. Very important data. The media will make you believe otherwise, like it's climate or something. And they have this from gov.mb.ca, year-to-date summary, 100 fires here, human-caused, out of 111. There's your climate change.
Wait, go up. What are the other causes?
Natural.
Five are under investigation, so they're really saying one is for sure natural.
Yeah.
Oh, no, sorry, six.
Yeah. So six out of 111 naturally caused. So, I mean, and I guess that doesn't say whether it's intentionally arson or whether it's a campfire gone wrong or something, but oh, actually I'll play that clip that'll bring you into yours. Okay.
Sure.
This is just some back and forth. I don't know, in our government. Oh, there's that guy right there. There's the guy taking your guns away right in the background there. Is that him?
Action Blackson, yeah.
Is that him?
The Honorable Member for Thornhill.
Canadians will hold account by their experiences at the grocery store. Those are the words of the Prime Minister. So let's see what the new stats say about his performance. Since the start of 2025, the price of rice has gone up 14%. The price of potatoes, 13%. The price of infant formula, 9%. And beef, a whopping 33% up. By that measure, he's failing miserably. The Prime Minister claimed that he had a plan for inflation, but all Canadians got was another $500 billion of spending with no budget. So where is it?
Can I ask you something? Why is there so much noise in the background? It's not always noise. Is it because she's a woman? I mean, really?
Nah, it's
not usually loud.
They're always kind of muttering, I think.
Are they?
Yeah.
We're here. It
just depends how riled up they are, you know?
Okay.
It's a Congress debate.
Mr. Speaker, I know this the member on the other side, and I know she wants the good for the people of her riding and across Canada. Mr. Speaker, she will have a chance very soon. We have a very important vote in which she can vote to reduce taxes for 22 million Canadians, Mr. Speaker. People who live in her riding will be watching that evening where she's going to put her vote, because that's the best way to make sure we support Canadians, is to leave them with more money in their pocket, Mr. Speaker. The Prime Minister has been clear. We will support Canadians, we will build Canada strong, and we will do this together as a nation, a proud nation.
Well, member for Thornhill.
Canadian family now pays $1,400 more for government consultants. But let's go back to groceries. The Prime Minister might not know this, but Canadians, when they go to the grocery store and leave with two bags, it's oftentimes more than $100. And it's getting worse. So again, on behalf of the millions of Canadians who are waiting for a plan to tackle food inflation, will the government introduce a budget or ignore the will of Parliament and take a summer vacation?
Yeah. L'honorable ministre de la transformation du gouvernement, des travaux publics et de l'approvisionnement.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And we have reduced the use of consultants to answer the first part of our questions. And we are working on a strong mandate to make government more efficient so that we can deliver more for Canadians, which is exactly what we're doing with a tax cut, Mr. Speaker, for 22 million Canadians. I'm hoping Conservatives can rally behind this very common sense idea. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Oh, he says they reduced the so $1,400. Did you think you'd be spending $1,400 of your own money every year on somebody to tell the government how to stay in their globalism ideology here? Really, that seems to be what it's all about.
Seems to be on the list. Well, here's a little breakdown I did with the GPT. So the first thing I wanted to do, because we know they're spending $26 billion on consultants, so the first thing I wanted to do is come up with an average rate to go for hourly.
Okay, hang on a sec. Before you do that, this is $26 billion for a year, right? I mean, this is what's so hard to believe. $26,000 million for consultants.
To estimate the average hourly rate across the board, we'll take a weighted approach that considers a typical range of consulting roles from low-level administrative support to high-level strategy and technical consulting. So they came through with junior consultants at like 50, mid-level at 100, senior managerial consultants at 200 an hour, executive subject matter experts $400 an hour, and elite niche experts $2,000.
Now, me and you, when we did this exercise, we were just joking around. We went just to $1,000 an hour. Like, let's use $1,000 an hour. If you're paying these consultants $1,000 an hour, what does it look like?
So let's go through. They went it all and came up with $126.50 an hour. That is on the low end. So you could go to, if you want to say $250 to go to the high end of the estimate, then we can just double the numbers. We can do that ourselves down the road. So this reflects a reasonable all-in blended average, considering the heavy use of mid-level and senior consultants, the rarer but costly use of high-level expertise, and the occasional low-cost contracts for admin and support roles. So then I asked it, how many hours would that take to burn through $26 million? Billion with a B. So it goes to the formula, $26 billion at $125 an hour is 208 million hours. Now, if the high end, that'd be 104 million hours. One person full-time, that'd be 2,000 hours a year. So 1,000 full-time consultants. So that would take, for one person full-time, would take 104,000 years. For 1,000 consultants full-time, it'd take 104 years. For 10,000 consultants full-time, it would take 10.4 years. So if even on the high end, that's 5 years or 20,000 consultants. So it'd take 200 million man hours.
Well, no. Okay. What we need to find out, the last thing that's missing there is, what is it for 1 year? That's the last calculation. So ask it how many consultants, because it's a 1 year budget. So.
Yeah. So it'd either be 100,000 consultants or.
Yeah. 100,000.
50,000 consultants at the lower end. Or sorry, no, it's
100,000 or yeah, you're right. Yeah, 50,000.
To do it all in a year, they'd need either 50 to 100,000 consultants.
But we were saying, even if you'd multiply, even if it was $1,000 an hour, that's still what, 10,000 consultants, I think, per year.
Let's all just do it at 1,000 an hour in 1 year. Let's see what it comes back with. Let's give it a moment for this thing. To calculate how much $26 billion would be spent at 1 year of full-time work. So 50 weeks, 2,000 hours. 2,000 hours a year at 1,000 hours is 2 million per consultant per year. So $26 billion would be 13,000 consultants working full-time at $1,000 an hour.
So obviously we're missing, something because all these contracts aren't based on hourly rates. I mean, I'm sure they're based on some kind of fixed value contracts or something like that, or maybe they're subcontracting other like, I mean, I can't even imagine what building stuff, or are they making stuff? Are they subcontracting? Like, are they just going to these consultants that are then actually fabricating stuff or making stuff? Like there must be more than just consulting or hourly, you know, administrative assistance and stuff like that. Right? There has to be like some weird other economy going on with these contracts producing something, because that's too many. I mean, that's insane. 13,000 people for
like 9-10% of the federal workforce as consultants. That's if they're all making $1,000 an hour, which is $2 million a year. And most can even, well, maybe, I mean, I think $1 million might be closer to the mark. So you need, even on the high end, so even at that rate, you need 26,000 of them.
What does McKinsey have on the government? Like, what do they have? Like, or do they just know how corrupt the government is and they can just demand these numbers because they'll rat on them or something? Like, this feels like blackmail to me. How can we be paying so much?
That's crazy. That's too bad, really. I mean, I don't have the other numbers in front of me, but it'd be interesting to see how that compares on what we're paying for other stuff.
Like what?
Like, you know, what does that compare to healthcare or debt payments? You know, debt payments are $55 billion, so it's like half of that. But what else? You know, where's the other line items fall in?
Yeah.
All right, you want to go? You're muted.
Yeah, let's see here. I don't know if we should get into this one, but this was something Brookfield popped up. Didn't Brookfield just buy a pipeline in the USA? They agreed to buy Colonial Enterprises for about $9 billion in April. So this is weird, eh? May 30th. So this is just a few days ago. They didn't just buy a pipeline. They bought the largest refined products pipeline by volume in the United States. The key part here is who they bought it from. One of the owners of the Colonial. Did you hear about this?
I actually think we covered this on the show.
No, was CDPQ, run at the time by Mark Carney's new chief of staff, Marc-André Blanchard. It's hard to believe how many connections are and how deep this goes. I think that's, I do have one more thing, I guess, if you want to talk about the convoy, but I haven't gone too deep. Do you have something right now in the meantime?
I have this thing here. Did you see this one going around? Exclusive school board trained staff that the term family is harmful and racist. The Waterloo Region District School Board and Ontario staff are being trained that the word family is a harmful concept rooted in white supremacy. Dismantling whiteness at Waterloo, Oxford. Words matter. Family, identified as harmful by our racialized students, implies values, positions of male authority and hierarchy. A nuclear family structure, not the same for everyone. Niceness, ask for obedience, no room for questions or criticism, an expectation to prioritize family's needs and wants, sacrificing personal boundaries. Well, I mean, can you believe it?
No, I can't. I can't. I thought we were over all this stuff.
Waterloo Region District School Board staff are being trained that the word family is a harmful concept rooted in white supremacy. Unpacking whiteness. You want to unpack some whiteness, buddy? Whiteness is a system. We have been conditioned to be a part of the system. And whiteness is a construct that allows white supremacy to flourish. You want to hear some of the symptoms of whiteness?
This isn't really happening at the school board right now, I don't think. Are they? Is it?
Yeah. You want to hear some of the characteristics of white supremacy culture? Perfectionism, individualism, objectivity, right to comfort. Power hoarding. either or thinking, worship of the written word, quantity over quality.
Worship over the written word. I mean, these are amazing.
Fear of open conflict. Progress is bigger. Paternalism. Sense of urgency. One right way. And defensiveness.
What is that one on the bottom right? Fear of...
Fear of open conflict.
Fear of open conflict. Wow, that's amazing.
Isn't that something?
How much? I wonder if that's the consultants that are making those things for us. Maybe answering, that's what we're paying consultants for.
Answering your questions about the affinity group. All BIPOC students are welcome to attend the affinity group. If you feel that you have established a relationship with a student, please feel free to recommend the affinity group. The reason it isn't advertised as a club is to protect the students. It is our hope that the shift in school culture will one day allow us to advertise the group. Leadership development. Provide dedicated time and space for Black, Indigenous, and racialized leaders to share their learning, thinking, reflections, and experiences, e.g. affinity groups.
So an exclusive club for only certain races? That's good.
For BIPOCs.
I'm glad we're moving forward with our colorblindness.
Yeah. This is great news for me as a BIPOC.
Okay, so here's... something interesting from the convoy that you don't hear about a lot. Have you seen this clip at all? This is what they're using from the convoy.
No.
Spying that happened during the trucker convoy in Ottawa. So five times CANSOFCOM, so the Canadian Special Forces flew a King Air plane, which is a spy plane, essentially equipped with super advanced tech to scrape data from any device that can transmit a signal. So that means
what?
Watches, phones, computers, anything that sends or receives data, this plane will pick up and it will harvest any or all of it with or without you even knowing it happens. So this is sort of one of those cyber attacks that you can call it an attack, but it's basically just spying or surveillance. So five times this happened over the convoy in Ottawa. The flight diverted from its set path, flew directly over the convoy in a scraping more or less pattern, and conducted this illegal spying operation.
Wait a minute. So we have technology that can be in an airplane flying above. How many, doesn't really matter how many feet. It's obviously you don't know what's happening. And their technology can, on a flyby, scoop all the information that's on my phone.
Oh yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
So like everybody's like thousands, 100,000 phones all at once. It can just scoop all the information.
So whatever's in your phone is now in that plane.
That is mental. I had
my buddy that's a cop in the state said they have vans that can do that too. They can just go park beside the cell tower that they know the guy they're watching his phone is going to and just scrape every bit of data going through the tower.
No idea we had that. That's crazy.
But people have reached out to me to say, not only is what I'm saying accurate, but there's a lot more that I don't know and they're not even comfortable telling me what it is. They can't handle being around this anymore, and they just don't want to be a part of it.
Wow, that's interesting. Hey, so it made me think of probably back from No Agenda way back when, when I heard about the FBI using this in the States, and it would drain phones. They could not only scrape your data, but they could just drain all the cell phones instantly in the area, like just batteries gone. And I was trying to remember what the name was, and your assistant helped me with this. So I asked them the question and it said and I knew it was like Viper. I thought it was like Viper or something about a snake, but it was a sting. It's called Stingray.
Stingray. Like
developed by Harris Corporation.
Oh, Hunter.
The Stingray is a IMSI catcher that can intercept mobile phone signals by pretending to be a cell tower. Once connected, it can collect various data from the device, including location information and unique identifiers like the IMSI, International Mobile Subscriber Identity. not just those. So it can collect unique identifiers from all the phones in the vicinity, not just those targeted, tracking the location of mobile devices, potentially intercepting calls and text messages, depending on the device's configuration, disrupting normal cell service, which can interfere with emergency calls. The convoy, people were talking about that happening. They got to these points when they were using, even their CBs wouldn't work when they were working. And that's probably when they were doing that. Dirt boxes is the other thing. It's short for digital receiver technology. The dirt box is a more advanced version of the Stingray, typically mounted on aircraft. It can cover large areas and collect data from thousands of phones during a single flight. The device was developed by Digital Receiver Technology, a subsidiary of Boeing. That's interesting. I'm just going to ask a quick question here. Can it also drain the batteries?
Survey says.
Yes, Stingray devices can increase battery drain on mobile phones, but not because they intentionally drain batteries. Here's why it happens. Constant connection attempts, forcing 2G downgrades. That was good timing for that little ding.
There's a couple places in Calgary I remember driving by that it would just always glitch your whatever you're listening to. And you wonder if that's not just a scrape point.
Right. Interesting.
Picking up all the data that's going by.
Frequent location and identity requests, drop calls, and reconnect attempts. So they say that that's why it happens. Can it kill a battery on purpose? So this is what your assistant asked itself, added an extra question there. Can it kill a battery on purpose? Not exactly. A Stingray isn't designed to destroy a phone's battery or attack it directly, but as a side effect of aggressive and deceptive signaling, it can make a device behave in ways that drain power faster. So this is, I remember this from 10, 12 years ago, dude. So they've been doing this for a long time. Just sad to see it done on the truckers. What's going on in Calgary? There seems to be some stuff going on with the council and with some other stuff.
I haven't caught any of it. I was in Calgary today.
I should have saved some of that stuff.
Well, yeah. On that same line of devices, this is from Table Salt. Carney's Bill C2 permits police to add tracking software to your electronic devices covertly, and it can gag tech companies from disclosing the installation. Scope of warrant, section 3. The warrant authorizes the peace officer or public officer or person acting under their direction to install, activate, use, maintain, monitor, and remove the tracking device, including covertly. The warrant also authorizes a person acting under the direction of the peace officer or public officer to obtain the tracking data that is authorized to be obtained under the warrant. Definition of a tracking device. In this section, a tracking device means a device, including a computer program, as defined in subsection 342.1-2, that may be used to obtain or record tracking data or to transmit it by means of telecommunication. Non-disclosure order. What's this? Tech giant, you're not allowed to tell anyone, province of blah, 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 the name of, whereas I am satisfied by information on oath that there are reasonable grounds to believe that the disclosure of the existence or any contents or any of the portion or portions specified in the information of identify of the preservation demand made under section 487.012 of the Criminal Code, the information demand made under section 487.0121 of that act, or the order made under any of sections 487.013 to 487.018 of that act, as the case may be, during identify the period, would jeopardize the conduct of the investigation of the offense to which it relates. Therefore, you are prohibited from disclosing the existence or any of the contents or any of the following portion or portions of the demand or the order during a period of after the day on which this order is made. They can even make a request to foreign tech giants. So this is subsection 4. Allow a justice or judge to authorize and warrant a peace officer or public officer to obtain tracking data or transmission data that relates to anything that is similar to a thing in relation to which data is authorized to be obtained under the warrant and that is unknown at the time the warrant is issued. 6, allow a justice or judge to authorize a peace officer or public officer to make a request to a foreign entity that provides telecommunication services to the public to produce transmission data or subscriber information that is in its possession or control. So that'd be like Starlink and stuff like that, I'm assuming.
So I was going to ask you about that, if you had sort of, if there's any deconstruction on this, like, is it as bad as everybody says on X right now, or is it just a bunch of fear mongering? And has it always been like that, but now they're like, people are like freaking out and highlighting new things? You know what I mean? Like, I kind of wonder.
It's just time to get rid of the phones almost, you know? They're just getting worse and worse and more intrusive, into the point where it's just, the juice ain't worth the squeeze on the smartphone.
Yeah. Until you try not to use a smartphone, then you're like, oh.
Where's my phone?
So, but do you know what I mean, though? Is it, do you think it's really like all this new stuff? Do you think it's the fear mongering and
fun? Yeah, I do. I think it's all terrible. It's all heading in a real bad direction.
Do you think it's real then?
Yeah, I think it's real. Yeah. I mean, I think it can also be played off as not being a big deal. You know what I mean? It's like one of those that can go either way. But if they want it to, or when they want it to, they can use the verbiage to fuck you in the ass.
I'm just surprised that it's not already in there, to be honest with you.
Oh, that's what I think it is. And this is just them covering their ass.
How so?
So they can legally use it. Because I think they've been collecting it all the whole time, but it's just kind of sketchy to bring it up in a court of law.
How much you want to bet the consultants are making these bills?
I'm sure they're behind this.
Right? Sure. They're writing all this stuff for them.
Here's my last piece of the day. Quebec floats cutting services for non-permanent residents. I mean, Quebec might be more conservative than Alberta in some ways. Quebec immigration minister Jean-François Robert said he isn't ruling out the possibility of cutting services for non-permanent residents in the province if the federal government fails to have its annual immigration targets. At a news conference on Thursday, Roberge presented a report outlining the coalition Avenir Quebec government's potential immigration targets for 26 to 29. If we're forced to make difficult decisions, we'll make them. We're not at that point yet, and we don't want to get there, Roberge said. Underlining that the provincial government spent $500 million last year to support asylum seekers. He added that the state of $500 million, how much is that like per Quebec residents? There's 8 million Quebec residents, so like $50 each.
No,
not quite. It's nothing. It's peanuts. He added the state of public services in the province is unfair to Quebecers who pay taxes and are already struggling to see family doctors and find housing. The report describes three scenarios the government is considering to bring down the number of permanent residents from this year's target of 66,500. Thresholds could be lowered to 45,000, 35,000, or 25,000 over the next 4 years. Quebec's Roberge said that the government would focus its non-permanent immigration reduction efforts in Montreal and Laval to facilitate newcomers settling in regional areas where French is threatened. He said it also intends to prioritize current non-permanent residents for permanent residency. Immigrants admitted through the Programme de Traveler, the PTET, which is currently suspended until November 30th, could decrease from 72,000 to 65,000 over the same period. The government could decrease the number of international students from 128,000 to 110,000 by 2029, which is not really that much. We could skip that probably. Quebec is projected to accept 10,000 more permanent residents in 2025 than it planned because of immigrants who completed the program to experience Quebecois, which is the PEQ. We are quite aware of the reality of what happens when people come and when we hear their stories. We see that the government narrative that is currently in place differs greatly from what they're telling us. She said, we do hope government chooses to reevaluate their numbers and consider the expert opinions on the topic.
What do you mean? What happens after the PEQ? They leave Quebec?
Legault said, here's a little video. Let's play the video. Let's see if this works. Is this French? Oh, it probably will be French. And I can't find it. So anyway, that's just him saying that that for them to take even, was it 50,000?
Well, 10,000.
Accepting more than 50,000 immigrants in Quebec per year would be a bit suicidal. This is from 2022. So interesting stuff there. That's all I got. You're out.
Yeah, I think I'm out. I mean, I was wondering if we should just do like a quick glance at X and see if there's anything new happening, like right at this time, you know. Daniel Smith is wishing everybody in Alberta's Muslim community a joyful and blessed Eid al-Adha. May this holiday be filled with peace, generosity, and time spent with loved ones. Eid Mubarak.
Sounds like a Dune villain.
Yeah, so I don't know what else is going on X there, but it's interesting times. Interesting times. Next time I'll have a few more clips of our crazy government making a fool of themselves, because, I mean, that seems to be the trend this week. I don't know. What's your view on how the Liberal government's handling everything so far?
Oh, it's a train wreck. Yeah, it's pretty funny. I mean, it's... If I didn't live here, it'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, it really would. So who did I put that clip in there too? Maybe I missed it. Make sure. Oops. Anyway, I can do that after. Big thanks to you guys for listening. Check out a-list.ca if you want to support us. If you're on YouTube, just like, subscribe, comment, share, all that stuff that helps the algo. I don't know. We love you guys. Have a good weekend. And we'll see you next week.
Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never political anyhow. Since when did you start trusting in the government? Since when was it okay to ridicule and shame your neighbor? Your opinions have become as fickle as artificial flavors. What matters most to you? What the TV host told you to do, or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never religious anyhow. Since when did you kiss the ring on the hand of the Pope? Since when do we need pharmaceuticals to cope? Your soul has become, ever-loving soul has become, as brittle as communion wafers. What matters most to you? What the Holy Ghost told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. Bureaucrats think I'm non-essential anyhow. Since when has our culture become so lowbrow? It's all touchscreens, and nobody has any know-how. Your idea of fun is taking 1,001 photos of your duck face. Matters most to you what the celebrity's post told you was cool, or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your 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 sacred cow. I'm gonna kill